Somebody got there. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack.
Rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from there.
Yo. And welcome back to the Big Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the side, going down. Audio Shop Talk right in your ear hole, brought to you by yours truly, Joseph Ward, right here on the Freedom Train Network. Make sure you visit our website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, the home of the realest podcast media network ever. Oh man, it's been a week. We back. You know, the homie don't know never how to act, you heard me? Just got through doing my vision board. We had a little vision board party earlier. I ain't got my whole vision board. I gotta put my house and some other stuff on there, my girlfriend and my house stuff on there, my car on there. But other than that, I got a lot of stuff on there for the 2019 that's going down. Got my mama write a movie. My credit score going to hit 808. I'm going to make sure I get my six-pack back. I'm going to get my chest back. Get me a bicycle, ride my bicycle, get my cardio together. Get this money. Get these interviews in. I'm traveling the world. It's happening. It's going down. Get your mind right for the 2019. Yes, sir. Hey, man, it feels good to be back. I love talking about this sports to y'all. I love getting it in because guess what? This shit's so fun, man. This shit's so fun. Oh, this shit's so fun. Hey, Fix Sports Podcast. Hey, remember, the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants, and On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go through the African History Book Series, African History Blog Series, the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available in the Google Play Store now, so go ahead and visit Google Play Store. Right now it's for Android, it's only, but visit the Google Play Store, type in On the Shoulders of Giants, and bam, you're going to get that app on your phone. It's free. Get your free app. The On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, make sure you check it out. Lectures, classes, education, keynote engagements, whatever you need, hosting, we even host stuff, whatever you need, www.ownershoulders1.com or www.ownershoulders.org. We can get more information, a whole bunch of information about the song and unsung heroes of the African diaspora. Once again, that's www.ownershoulders1.com or www.ownershoulders.org. It is Friday, January 18th. We is about to get it in and three. And you know it. Ooh, whoop, whoop, whoop. All right, so episode 25, staying alive. That's what we're doing today. This is episode 25. So our HBCU Spotlight, give me the rundown. This is our rundown. The HBCU Spotlight got two of them. So the first half of the spotlight was shining on Fayetteville State because they got a surprise victory over Lincoln. So we're going to talk about that. Also, Akobundu breaks the men's 4x4 record, so we're going to shout them out. We're also going to shout out Sarah Thomas, who's the first woman to officiate an NFL playoff game. You know me, I'd be like, shit, what the hell took so long for them to get a woman to officiate a game? We're going to talk about that. We're going to take a peek into the Antonio Brown versus the Pittsburgh Steelers saga and just take a peek into it, you know what I'm saying, and see what we see and talk about that. There's a Haitian sprinter named Rickner who breaks the 60-meter national record in debut for Florida State. So we're going to talk about my homie Rickner. We're going to talk about the notable transfers in the transfer portal for college football because a lot of movement, a lot of things have happened. We're going to give you an update on the NFL divisional rounds because we got our championship game set, but we're going to bring you up to speed and tell you about the championship games. Enes Kanter is accused by Turkey of being a part of a terror group. We're going to look into that. And our Friday rant, we're looking into this Travis Scott Kaepernick situation because Travis Scott saying he was advised, well, he spoke to Kaepernick before. He's implying basically that Kaepernick gave him the green light to perform at the Super Bowl. So that's what Travis Scott is implying, but information is out there. And I got, I follow Kaepernick's girl on Instagram, NASA, because I remember her from TV. And I saw a post from her saying that they didn't advise anybody to do nothing. So we're going to look into that. But, you know, let's start off with our HBCU spotlight, and we look at Fayetteville. All right. Let's get it going. But it's in a trip. It's in a trip. So, Fayetteville State now has a 1-1 record in the 2019 calendar year after holding off Lincoln with a 77-73 conference victory in the Felton J. Capel Arena. Broncos, who were 2-9 overall and 1-3 in the CIAA, shot the Lions 41-34 halftime lead and led the entire second half. Basically, Lincoln was supposed to lose to Fayetteville State, make better than Fayetteville. Lincoln came in here ranked in the region, said Broncos head coach Ken Spencer. Our guys were able to remain focused on the game plan and sustain a couple of runs to come out good. So Lincoln, who falls to 11-5 overall and 4-1 in the conference, had a lightning fast start with a 20-10 lead in the first 7 minutes of the game. Fayetteville State took its first lead of the game with a 16-5 run in the following 6 minutes span and never looked back. Jaquel Richmond led the Broncos with 20 points and 7 assists. Joshua Bryant set aside his scoring role to contribute a double-double of 11 points and 10 rebounds. Raymond Pratt scored 17, and Nakia Rivers sank 16 points. Fayetteville State picked up several runs to lead by as many as 14 points with 8:01 left in the game. And at that time, scored 69. Former local standout Cameron Campbell led Lincoln with 22 points, which helped the Lions close the gap. Bernard Leipzig hit 4 of 7 3-pointers, 14 points, and Jordan Camper at 10. Fayetteville State will host Virginia Union on Saturday, January 12th. That has already happened. So shout out to Fayetteville State for getting there. 77-73 victory over Lincoln because they really weren't supposed to win. They really, really, really weren't supposed to win the game because Lincoln was a superior team, came in ranked record like they are falling doing. So y'all know how we get down, man, up here. They call it Fayetteville. All right. my homeboy, Echo Buntu. I know I may mess his name up in the opening, so I'm going to try to do my best to say it right now. Echo Buntu continues to excel in the men's 4x4 breaks record. And guess what? Guess what HBCU he go to? Yes, just guess. Just guess. Of course you know he go to North Carolina A&T. Of course you know he go to A&T. So there are some trends developing early in the season for North Carolina A&T women's indoor track and field team. One sophomore, Naza Reddick, is a pretty good high jumper, and two, junior Madeline Akabundo Let me read this up. There are some trends developing early in the season for North Carolina A&T women's indoor track and field team. Okay. So I'm confused because they're talking about. Oh, okay. These two stories. Oh, okay. I was confused. I know y'all probably like, man, what the hell he talk about? These two stories that they should be talking about in here or something. So I'm tripping because I'm reading the opening lines, and I know how I read women's indoor track. But then it's a picture of a dude. So that's why I said my homeboy Akabundo, because it's a picture of a dude up here. So my apologies to Akabundo, because she is a lady. So my apologies. So let me start this over. So sophomore Nazareth is a pretty good high jumper. Junior Madeline Akabundo is still very, very good. The Aggies men's and women's indoor track and field teams competed Saturday during the second day of the Virginia Tech Indoor Invitational at Rector Fieldhouse. Akabundo recorded the second fastest time in the country in the women's 60-meter hurdles by running a 8.14 in the preliminary round on Friday before winning the final in 8.16. She returned Saturday and won the women's long jump. Meanwhile, it was Reddick who stood out for the Aggies in the women's high jump for the second straight meet. A month after winning the high jump at the JDL College Kickoff, Reddick took first place at Virginia Tech. Sophomore Michael Bell and the men's 4x400-meter relay team highlighted the men's performance on Saturday. Bell won the 200 meters after finishing second in the long jump. The 4x4 team of seniors Justin Hart Hamilton and Rodney Rowland, freshman Akeem Sirleaf, and sophomore Trevor Stewart are the owners of the new school record after Saturday's competition. Akabundo, who won the MEAC indoor title in the long jump in 2017 before finishing second in 2018, looks to get back on top in 2019. She is off to a good start after jumping 19 feet 4 and 3/4 inches, finishing ahead of Charlotte's Jade Jordan, who jumped 18 feet 6.5 inches. It was Akobundu's fifth career indoor win for the long jump after her 10th top five finish in the event. Two other Aggies finished in the top 10 of the women's long jump. Sophomore Royce Johnson placed sixth with her best jump measured at 17 feet 9 inches. Reddick had a seventh place finish thanks to an indoor personal best 17 feet 4 and 3/4 inches. Reddick fared much better in the long jump. In December, Reddick broke the JDL College Kickoff meet record in the women's high jump by earning a mark of 5 feet 8 3/4 inches. Reddick went to Blacksburg and jumped 5 feet 6 inches to outjump second place Lauren Miller of Virginia Tech, who jumped 5 feet 4 1/4 inches. Reddick also competed in the 200 meter, where she finished 18th. The women's 800 meter also did well, with Aggies finishing first, second, and third. Junior Jasmine. Jasmine? I guess that's Jasmine. Good Jasmine? I don't know. Butler led the way by running a 2:17.48, followed by freshman Monzirod Siri with a 2:17.82, and Shalamines with a 2:19.59. I'm trying to get the names right. On the men's side, Bell ran his first career 200 meter and looked impressive doing it. He crossed the finish line 21:61 to blow away Charlotte's Nico Menzel, who finished second 21:74. Junior Robert Miller finished fifth with an indoor personal best of 22.67. So, basically, North Carolina A&T dominated this track meet at Virginia Tech. Akko Bundu balled out. Reddick balled out. Hey, man, just y'all know how we do, man. One time for Akko Bundu in North Carolina A&T. A&T just be live, man, out here in these streets. Man, get the mind right. You ain't trying to be like North Carolina A&T. You ain't really trying to win out here in these streets. Yeah. Hey, when I say A, y'all say A&T. A, A&T, A, A&T. When I say A, y'all say A&T, A. Auntie, ay, auntie, when I say auntie, y'all say ay, auntie, ay, auntie, ay, when I say ay, TN, y'all say ay, TN, TN, we're going to use all the sequences we can use, we're going to use them all, but shout out to auntie, because auntie always balling, always coming up on top, always making it happen. North Carolina A&T State University. If you don't know, now you know. Get your mind right. Said it right here at the Fix. I'm a FAMU rattler, and I got to give it up to A&T. I don't be looking for these stores, man. These stores find me. All right. Let's move it on like Maya. Sarah Thomas, she made history as the first woman to officiate a playoff game. So we got to show love. She, it was the Chargers and the Patriots game. So I'm watching TV and I look up and they highlight Sarah Thomas and I'm like, oh my God, no! I'm like, that's what's up, man. Sarah out there doing what she's doing and just holding it down. What's taking so long? Like it should already be a whole bunch of women out there officiating NFL games, officiating playoff games, officiating NFL games, NHL, all these things. Women are more than capable of doing these things, man. They can do it. So it was cool. It was damn cool to see Sarah out there. I really didn't expect it. I really didn't expect that to be one of the storylines from this game with the Patriots and the Chargers. I really didn't expect it to be a storyline going into the game. You know, I was like Philip versus Tom, the Chargers offense versus the Patriots defense, of course, you know, and the Patriots, you know, they did their thing. But old Sarah stole the show. But that's what's up, though, man. I ain't even mad at her. I'm actually elated because y'all know how we like to show the ladies some love over here because we love ladies. We really love women over here. We really love women over here. Shout out to all the ladies, man. Shout out to Sarah Thomas, so, man. Hey, man. Hey. Guess what? Guess what? Put your hands together. Officiate a football playoff game. Sarah. Who? Oh, Sarah. Yeah. Hey, man, y'all book me for your weddings and stuff. I sang at films, too. Hey, so Antonio Brown and the Steelers not on good terms right now. They've been beefing. They've been cripping in blood. So let's look into this and see what's going on. This is the article by SB Nation. The headline is what we know about the ongoing drama between Antonio Brown and the Steelers. Dun, dun, dun. Antonio Brown missed an important week 17 game against the Bengals, and it may not have been because of an injury. Instead, the all-pro wide receiver may have been held out of the game due to disciplinary issues that tie back to an increasingly volatile Steelers locker room. That's not where the drama ends either. Oh, shit. After the Steelers season finale, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette staff writers Gary Dulac and Ed Bouchette reported the Browns' trip to an inactive list wasn't due to a bulky knee like head coach Mike Tomlin told the press that Sunday. Instead, his absence was a disciplinary reaction that came after a week filled with missed team activities and an argument with an unnamed teammate. I think that was Ben Roethlisberger. While the Steelers were able to win without their star wideout, a sputtering offense made things much more difficult than expected. Against a spiraling Bengals team. While that gave Pittsburgh the victory it needed to stay alive in the playoff race, the Ravens' nail-biting win over the Browns clinched the AFC North for Baltimore and all but eliminated the Steelers from playoff contention. So then, Browns had not spoken to anyone in the organization. Team owner Art Rooney II also told the Post-Gazette that while the Steelers would not release Brown this offseason, all other options are on the table. Brown took a small step of removing Pittsburgh Steelers from his Twitter bio. What did reports say about Antonio Brown's Week 17 absence? While Dulac and Bouchette didn't name who the confrontation was with, NFL Network described a DT, I ain't going to try to say his last name, reported that multiple sources had told her Brown and quarterback Ben Roethlisberger had a little bit of disagreement during Wednesday's practice. I told you that, right? According to Mark Caboli, of the Athletic, Antonio Brown threw a ball towards Ben Roethlisberger before walking out of practice. So this is the tweet by Mark Caboli. Was told this afternoon by a source during Steelers locker room clean out that Antonio Brown threw a ball near at feet of Ben Roethlisberger and walked out of practice. Post-Gazette reporting Brown skipped Saturday walkthrough and expected to play Sunday. He didn't. He did not attend practices the rest of the week, including Saturday's walkthrough practice, and skipped the Saturday night meeting at the team hotel. Brown never took the field for the start of the game against the Bengals and left Heinz Field at halftime, according to multiple sources. Oh, fuck now. This is a report from the Post-Gazette. Steelers receiver Antonio Brown did not play in the season-ending game against the Cincinnati Bengals because he elected to sit out of practice last week after an unspecified heated dispute with a teammate, the Pittsburgh Gazette has learned. Several sources said Steelers' decision to not play Brown against the Bengals had nothing to do with any type of knee injury. The disagreement occurred Wednesday morning during a routine walkthrough practice that precedes their regular afternoon practice on the south side. Brown became disgusted and threw a ball in anger at one of his teammates, several sources said. He did not attend Saturday's walkthrough practice and skipped the Saturday night meeting at the team hotel, and the latest is missed meetings by the all-pro wide receiver. Brown was never on the field for the start of the game against the Bengals and left Heinz Field at halftime, according to multiple sources. Dulac and Bouchette's report also suggested Brown showed up to the locker room on Sunday morning expecting to play, only to be shut down by Tomlin. This further annoyed teammates who called Brown's behavior embarrassing and the worst I've seen. ESPN reports gave more context to what Brown was emotional about. Brown got upset that Roethlisberger wanted to run a hot read over again during a walkthrough, so coaches sent another player to run the play. A source close to the situation told ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter, Brown got upset, left practice, and talked with Roethlisberger afterwards, telling the quarterback that he felt unappreciated and had issues with people in the organization, the sources told Schefter. However, Roethlisberger said the reports were blown out of proportion and that everything between Brown and him is fine, despite Brown not replying to any of his teammates' texts in the past few days. Well, we know that's what Ben's supposed to say. Right. You know what I'm saying? That's what Ben's supposed to say. That's what's baffling to me. People are making a big deal about a walkthrough on Wednesday. A fight between he and I, Roethlisberger said, on his weekly radio show on 93.7 The Fan. If there was a blow up or something, I sure have had, didn't see it. I'm not sure what that comes from. All right, whatever, Ben. Whatever, Ben, we believe you. Wink, wink, we believe you. Yeah, yeah, sure we do, sure we do, sure we do. Former Packers receiver and current NFL Network analyst James Jones said that he had heard that Roethlisberger and Brown had a bit of a shaky relationship, and Roethlisberger could be an antagonizer to Brown. I have talked to a couple of people in the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, and they told me things had been lingering on, Jones said. I've been told in meetings Roethlisberger would take shots at AB like, I don't got to throw you the ball and things like that. Wednesday in practice, I heard he ran the wrong route. Ben threw the ball at the ground, said, get him out of here. Get somebody else in there. And that's when AB was at his boiling point, and that's when he went off. Hey, Ben, if that did happen, Ben, you need to cool out, because that's your best receiver, AB, a baller. Don't be talking about AB. If that's true, don't be talking about that man like he ain't no baller. Everybody know who AB is. So, offensive coordinator Randy Fittner refused to discuss Brown's absence after he missed Thursday's team activities. An out-of-character response toward a player working through an injury, but a telling one for a healthy scratch for midweek practice. So what did Mike Tomlin say about Brown's absence? Tomlin met with reporters for his end-of-the-season press conference and outlined what happened with Brown's injury in the week leading up to the Bengals game. Tomlin said the wide receiver expressed soreness in the lower body on Wednesday, specifically his feet, ankle, and knee on Thursday and Friday. Brown was still experiencing discomfort, so he was placed on the injury report and then was sent to get an MRI. Tomlin said that Brown did not end up going through with the MRI. Tomlin said that Brown did not communicate with him on Friday evening and Saturday as expected. It wasn't until Sunday morning when Brown's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, reached out to Tomlin to let him know Brown was feeling better, that the team had any updates about Brown. At that point, Tomlin told Brown that the best thing was to be there and support his teammates because Brown was MIA from Friday evening to Sunday morning. Tomlin said the team didn't know the extent of his injury, and that's why he didn't play. He was absent due to injury and lack of information, Tomlin said. Yada, 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 yada. I think Antonio Brown's time in Pittsburgh is up. And go ahead and move on. So Pittsburgh potentially has lost Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. Potentially. Because both of them boys got issues with the Steelers. Now, I'm not mad at the Steelers for making Brown, for not letting him play, for not coming to practice and not doing what he's doing, missing meetings and things. We all know what that got to do. But I think a lot of that had to do with just tensions and stuff boiling over time because they've been, both sides, Brown and the Steelers, they it's been a rough year. Brown balled this year. Antonio Brown balled out this year. But it's been a rough year as far as relationships for the Pittsburgh Steelers and their stars. So I think, like they said in the report, I think this is when someone, if the things said, like what I read, say him and Ben got into it, he ran the wrong route. Ben said, get somebody else in there, they're going to do something, yada, yada, yada. If that happened, that's totally disrespectful. Because everybody know AB, best receiver in the game. Everybody know that. AB. Best receiver. Yeah. Ben ain't the best quarterback. Yeah. AB, best receiver. Yeah. So it's that's an interesting dynamic. It's something we're definitely gonna keep our eye on. I think AB's time is up in Pittsburgh. I really do. I really do. And I will look to get more information to keep y'all updated. So hell, Evan, if you know some information, let me know. So, hell, I can tell everybody else. Holla at your boy at JoeWard84 on Twitter, The Real Joseph Ward on Instagram, at JoeWard84 on Twitter, at The Real Joseph Ward on Instagram. You heard me? Or you can email me at joe@freedomtrainradio.com. Email your homeboy. Talk to me, joe@freedomtrainradio.com. Talk to your homeboy. I talk back. That's my email, joe@freedomtrainradio.com. Twitter, joeward84. Instagram, The Real Joseph Ward. You see my high school football picture up there. senior night, me and my mom, I got my jersey on. I balled out that game too. Ooh, I balled out that homecoming game. We played Suwannee County. It was 2001. We played Suwannee County, and we won the game. I balled out that game. I ain't give up no catches. I had about seven tackles. I was balling on special teams. I got a crackback block. I balled out that game, man. It went down. But enough about me. Enough about me. So the Haitian sprinter Rickner breaks 60-meter national record on debut for FSU. So let's talk about this because this is in my city. Rickner. Come on, Arthur. All right, Rickner, who was making his college debut. Hold on. Let me get this right. Rickner, who was making his college debut, stopped the clock in a time of 6.60 seconds, which was good enough for second behind North Carolina State University's Caravant Charleston, who clocked 6.59 for first spot. Rickner's teammate, Kashawn James, was given an identical time for third spot. The time put the athletes third in the early NCAA, in the early season NCAA rank. The Haitian Times was founded. Oh, no, never mind. That's it. Soft-ass article, man. Oh, this is an article about the Haitian Times. Let's see if I can find something else. But I want to talk more about Rickner, man. It's the Haitian record. I don't know. That wasn't cool. Because I saw the story, and I want to get more information on it, but that's the only article. It's by the Haitian Times, and all it's talking about is Rickner coming in second. Okay. Well, what we do know, he go to FSU. He came in second place, and the headline saying he breaks a record, a national record on debut. Guess his time is a national record for a debut. So what time for Rickner, man? You know what I'm talking about? I wish this article gave more information. But damn it, it did. Got me all ready to read about my dog Rickner. Got me all ready. Ain't gonna give me a little droplet. That's that bullshit, man. So fat article, man. But anywho, man, you know we keep this thing moving. We're gonna keep this train rolling. Cause we gotta talk about some notable transfers in the college transfer portal. So let's see the players who have entered. Let's read. So the players who have entered the portal. So let me read this first before I get to that. As of October 15, 2018, a change in the NCAA transfer rules allows students to enter their name into a transfer portal, allowing other schools to initiate contact. That's good. This allows players to publicly seek a new school without being blocked by their coaches or administrators. However, such a move doesn't come without risk. Players who have not graduated still have to sit out a year to become eligible after transferring unless they are approved for a hardship waiver. That you already know that. And schools are now allowed to cancel or reduce financial aid at the end of the semester once the notification of transfer is signed, and they are under no obligation to keep the player on the roster. They can revoke the player's scholarship or officially shopping around. So just like that in science fiction movies, once you enter the portal, there's a chance you won't return. Here are the players who have publicly announced that they are taking the leap this year along with the schools they are leaving and the schools they have chosen. All right, so quarterback. I don't know. Okay, well, yeah, a lot of these players. So let's just read. So you got Kelly Bryant from Clemson, went from Clemson to Missouri. Alex Delson, Kansas. They say Kansas State originally transferring to UTEP, later announced change to TCU, going from Kansas State to UTEP, TCU. Justin Fields from Georgia to Ohio State. Ben Hicks, SMU to Arkansas. Jalen Hurts, Alabama to Oklahoma. Wow. So Jalen Hurts decided to go to Oklahoma. That's going to be interesting. That's going to be very interesting. I was thinking Jalen Hurts maybe should go to Miami. But Tate Marshall from Ohio State is going to Miami. Johnny Langan from Boston College is going to Rutgers. Devin Monster is going from UCLA to Cal. Riley Neal is going from Ball State to Vanderbilt. Cameron Rising is going from Texas to Utah. Sean Robinson is going from TCU to Missouri. Jordan Travis going from Louisville to Florida State. Okay. Jack Turtle going from Utah to Indiana. And Brandon Wimbush going from Notre Dame to UCF. That's going to be interesting. Ooh, that's going to be very interesting to see Wimbush and UCF. That's going to be interesting. So, undecided is Ross Bowers from Cal, Shane Buechel from Texas, DeAndre Johnson from FAU, Austin Kendall from Oklahoma, Cole Kelly from Arkansas, Johnny Pappas from Indiana, Ty Story from Arkansas. Running backs is James Gilbert going from Ball State to Kansas State. Undecided running backs are Trey Sneed going from Rutgers to Fordham, Red Bell, Nebraska, Riley Burke from BYU, Mitch McNutt, Illinois, Craig Nelson, Indiana, Ichikawu, I can't say this, but Buddy from Maryland, and Amir Rasul, Florida State. Amir Rasul, it was somebody with the FAMU name, Amir Rasul. I wonder if that's his son. That's a wide receiver that's in the portal that have chosen. Got Jonathan Nance going from Arkansas to Missouri, A.D. Miller going from Oklahoma to Illinois, K.J. Osborne going from Buffalo to Miami, Jeff Thomas announced plans to transfer to Illinois, but later decided to stay at Miami. All right, so undecided wide receivers are Irwin Charles from Penn State, Charlie Fessler from Northwestern, Benaiah Franklin, Purdue, Carmoni Green from Illinois, Justin McGriff from Nebraska, Keith Mixon, Mississippi State, LaMichael Petway, Arkansas, Sean Savoy, Virginia Tech, tight ends, Taylor Davis, UConn and Georgia Tech, Luke Ford, Georgia to Illinois, Jalen Harris, Auburn to Colorado, undecided tight ends, Austin Doris at Indiana, Lou Dorsey at Illinois, Brandon Hohenstein from Nebraska, and Eli Wolf, Tennessee, offensive lineman, Nathan Eldridge, transferred from Arizona to Oregon State. Tommy Kennedy went from Butler to Miami. Undecided is Zeke Martin, Illinois, R.J. Proctor, Virginia, Drew Richmond, Tennessee, Ruben Unagi, Illinois defensive line, Darren Daniels going from Oklahoma State to Nebraska, Miles Fox from Old Dominion to Wake Forest, Cameron Goody going for Virginia Tech, UCF. UCF starting to get players, right? Jonathan Greenard going from Louisville to Florida, Aubrey Solomon going from Michigan to Tennessee, undecided defensive lineman, Zach Abercrombie at Rice, Malik Barrow, Ohio State, Trevor Hill, Virginia Tech linebackers, Drew Singleton going from Michigan to Rutgers, undecided linebackers, Oluwole, Petiku Jr., USC, DeLone Darien, Penn State, Rico Kearney, Virginia Tech, Aaron Mims, Iowa, Jalen Phillips, UCLA, Guy Thomas, Nebraska, defensive backs, Bubba Bolden going from USC to Miami. He's a junior, via junior college. Jonathan Greenard going from Duke to UCF. Isaiah Humphries going from Penn State to Cal. See UCF getting any players. I see UCF getting any players, right? Undecided DBs are Jarius Adams from Rutgers, Trey Creamer, Iowa, Zaire Jones, Vanderbilt, Quantrez. There we go. There go one of them names. Quantrez Knight from Maryland, Jack Leas, Minnesota, Marcus Lewis, Maryland, and Bennett Williams, Illinois. So that's all we know right now that's in the transfer portal. So good luck to those gentlemen. I hope everything works out. And look like UCF building the squad. All right, so talk about some NFL right now. As you know, we're down to our final two games, the NFC Championship game, AFC Championship game. One started 3 on Sunday, one started 6 on Sunday. So the divisional round, we had 4 games, right? I had the Colts versus the Chiefs, and the Colts lost to the Chiefs 31-13. So let's look at some stats real quick. So for the Colts, Andrew Luck went 19-36, 203 yards, 1 touchdown. Marlon Mack had 9 carries, 46 yards. T.Y. Hilton had 4 catches, 60 yards, a touchdown. Dontrell Inman had 4 catches, 55 yards. Eric Ebron, 5 catches, 51 yards. And Chester Rogers had 5 catches, 30 yards. For the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, he went 27-41, 278, no touchdown, no pick. Damian Williams, he had 25 carries, 129 yards, 1 touchdown. That's great. Tyreek Hill had 1 run, 36 yards, and touchdown. Darrell Williams had 3 runs, 9 yards, and touchdown. And Patrick Mahomes had 3 runs, 8 yards, and touchdown. So 4 rushing touchdowns for the Kansas City Chiefs. Receiving, Travis Kelce, 7 receptions, 108 yards. Tyreek Hill, 8 receptions, 72 yards. Sammy Watkins, 6 catches, 62 yards. Damian Williams, 5 catches, 21 yards. So, the Chiefs move on. So, staying in the AFC, we had the Chargers versus the Patriots, and the Patriots smacked the Chargers. They physically beat up the Chargers. They smacked the Chargers. They ran the ball down their throat. The Patriots came out to play. The Chargers wasn't ready for this. Phillip Rivers went 25-51, 331 yards, 3 touchdowns and 1 pick. Melvin Gordon had 9 carries, 15 yards, 1 touchdown. Justin Jackson had 1 carry, 4 yards. Tyrell Williams had 5 catches, 94 yards. Keenan Allen had 2 catches, 75 yards and a touchdown. Mike Williams had 5 catches, 68 yards. Antonio Gates had 5 catches, 41 yards and a touchdown. So for the Pats, ballers. Oh, no, that ain't what I want. I hit the wrong button. So for the Pats, Thomas F. Brady is the GOAT. Went 34 for 44. He would do that. He went 34 for 44, 343, and a touchdown. Sony Michel, balling at 24 carries, 129 yards, 3 touchdowns. Rex Burkhead had 4 carries, 12 yards, 1 touchdown. Julian Edelman had 9 catches, 151 yards. James White had 15 catches, 97 yards. Philip Dorsett, 4 catches, 41 yards. Who was Tom? Dorsett caught the touchdown. Yeah, Philip Dorsett caught the touchdown, I think. Yeah. So 4 catches, 41 yards, and the touchdown. So we got the Patriots versus the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game in Arrowhead. So I was at 3. And I got to see the Chiefs beat the Patriots to believe it. I don't believe in Andy Reid this deep in the season. We only really seen Andy Reid once this deep in the season advance past the championship games and go to the Super Bowl. When they got to the Super Bowl, guess who they lost to? The Patriots. Brady and Belichick. They had T.O. But I'm going with the Patriots. They say an Arctic blast is supposed to hit Kansas City area by Sunday. So they're going to have to, Kansas City going to have to run the ball. New England going to have to run the ball. They're going to throw it, but the temperatures are going to be more favorable for running the ball. So this is the time of year where you got to run the ball to play defense. And if you can't run the ball and play defense, along with pass the ball, you're not going to win. I got the Patriots beating the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. The Patriots moving up. All right, so NFC divisional round. Unfortunately, my Cowboys got their ass whooped, physically beat by the L.A. Rams. Bam. Dak Prescott went 20 for 32, 266 yards, 1 touchdown. They only got Dak Prescott rushing stats. Why? I don't know why they only got Dak Prescott rushing stats. He had 2 carries, 3 yards, 1 touchdown. I don't know. So receiving, Michael Gallup had 6 receptions, 119 yards. Amari Cooper, 6 receptions, 65 yards and touchdown. That's all that really matters. I wanted Ezekiel Elliott's stats, but they tripping. So for the Rams, Jared Goff went 15 for 28, which is good. 186 yards. C.J. Anderson had 23 carries, 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. Todd Gurley had 16 carries, 115 yards, 1 touchdown. Jared Goff had 6 carries, 12 yards. So they set a record with they had 238 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns between Gurley and Anderson. Instead of rushing, they set up the Rams set a franchise rushing record on the Cowboys on Sunday. Robert Woods had 6 catches, 69 yards. Brandon Cooks had 4 catches, 65 yards. And Tyler Higbee, 2 catches, 30 yards. So the Rams move on to the championship game. So we had the Eagles and the Saints, and the Eagles lost to the Saints, and I'm glad the Eagles lost to the Saints since the Cowboys lost. So they can watch the Super Bowl. We all still watching the Super Bowl at Tony Romo house. So, yeah. So 20-14 was the final score in the game against the Eagles and the Saints in the divisional round. So for the Eagles, Nick Foles went 18-31, 201 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 picks. Wendell Smallwood had 10 carries for 33 yards. Alshon Jeffries had 5 catches, 65 yards. Zach Ertz had 5 catches, 50 yards. Jordan Matthews had 1 catch, 37 yards, 1 touchdown. Darren Sproles, 3 catches, 21 yards. Golden Tate, 2 catches, 18 yards. They didn't utilize their offense well. The Saints, stats, Drew Brees went 28 for 38, 301 yards, 2 touchdowns in the pick. He would do that. I want to see Drew Brees and Tom Brady. Let me get through this first. So Alvin Kamara had 16 carries, 71 yards. Ingram had 9 carries, 53 yards. Michael Thomas had 12 catches, 171 yards, 1 touchdown. Ted Ginn Jr. had 3 catches, 44 yards. Alvin Kamara, 4 catches, 35 yards. Kamara is a baller. So the NFC Championship game is the Rams versus the Saints. This one can go either way. This game can go either way. I would like to see Tom Brady versus Drew Brees in the Super Bowl. I would like to see that. And I would like to – I wouldn't care who won the Super Bowl, but that's what I would want to see. So I'm pulling for the Patriots. I believe the Patriots are going to beat the Chiefs. I just don't trust Andy Reid in the play this deep in the playoffs. I just don't. We're going to see if the Kareem Hunt being missing really hurts them, even though they had over 100 rushing yards from the running back this past game against the Colts. We're going to see, but if the Chiefs can run the ball effectively on top of what they already been doing, I think they could win. I'm not counting the Chiefs out. I just mainly want the Patriots to win, but I do believe it's hard to go against Brady and Belichick, especially when Andy Reid is the other coach. So, and like I said, the Rams and the Saints, I don't really have a dog in this fight. It could go either way. I think the teams are not that much far apart. I think the Rams are slightly better as far as talent-wise, not necessarily the whole team unit. I wouldn't say the Rams are a better whole team unit. I say Rams are better talent-wise in different places. So we're going to see how that goes. I'm interested to see the matchup between Talib and Michael Thomas. That's going to be very, very interesting because if I'm the Rams, Talib is following Michael Thomas all over the field. So we'll see how that goes. AFC Championship game going down. NFC Championship game going down. So 305 for the NFC Championship game, 640 for the AFC Championship game. All right, move on. Ennis Kanter. I was looking at something the other day when it was like Ennis Kanter not traveling with his team to London because he's afraid he might be assassinated. I was like, what? But it's saying Turkey seeks warrant for Ennis Kanter, accuses Nick Sinner of being part of a terror group. So Turkish prosecutors are seeking an international arrest warrant for New York Knicks center Enes Kanter, accusing him of membership in a terror organization. Sabah newspaper says the Istanbul chief prosecutor's office had also prepared an extradition request for the NBA player. The newspaper says prosecutors are seeking an Interpol red note citing Kanter's ties to the Fethullah Gulen, who is blamed for a failed coup in 2016, and accusing him of providing financial support to his group. Officials at the prosecutor's office could not be reached for comment. Kanter reacted to the report with a tweet Wednesday. Turkish government cannot present any single piece of evidence of my wrongdoing. I don't even have a parking ticket in the U.S. True. I've always been a law-abiding resident. The Wall Street Journal tweeted, Turkish prosecutor age alleged New York Knicks center Enes Kanter should be extradited. An earlier tweet didn't make clear requests. Didn't make clear the request came from Turkey. So earlier this month, Kanter refused to travel to London, like I was just talking about, for a regular season NBA game, saying he feared he could be assassinated for his opposition to Turkish president Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Erdogan. Kanter's Turkish passport was revoked in 2017. So I don't know. We're going to keep our eye on that. We'll see what Enes Kanter got going on. Bet you he want LeBron James help. Nah, I don't know. But yeah, but that's what's going on with Enes Kanter. The Turks say he ain't talking about nothing, man. The Turks say they're going to take you out, fool. They're going to take you out, G. I don't know, man. So we're going to keep our eye on that and see what's going down with Enes Kanter. Do you know what time it is? Do you know what time it is? Do you know what time it is? If you don't know what time it is. Friday rant, motherfuckers. All right. So Travis Scott, the headline is saying Travis Scott, Kaepernick spoke before Super Bowl deal was signed, but Travis Scott didn't ask permission. So this is coming off the heels of, like I was saying earlier, of we found out Travis Scott accepted the invitation to be the sellout rapper who performed at Super Bowl. But Scott is insinuating that Kaepernick gave him the green light, the wink and the gun. Right? But like I said, Kaepernick camp saying, hey, bruh, we ain't get this cat no green light. We ain't get this cat no green light. Oh, hell nah. Hell nah. So, this from TMZ. So, we now have made sense of what happened between Colin and Travis, and sources connected with both sides agree the two men spoke, but the timeline and substance of the convo are critical. Sources connected to Travis acknowledged when TMZ broke the story on December 20th that Travis would perform at the Super Bowl. He had indeed made that decision. The contract, however, had not been signed. Travis had a track record for charity work and donations and wanted to incorporate that into his deal. And that's when he started thinking of some sort of donation the NFL might make. We're told Travis's people started negotiating a donation amount with the NFL, and Travis is willing to walk if he didn't get what he wanted. But the contract was signed, sources tell us Travis reached out to Colin, presumably to get him on board, but not to ask for permission. We're told Colin was not supportive of Travis performing at Super Bowl, and the two men disagreed. Multiple sources characterized the conversation as cordial, but not hostile. The NFL contract, we're told, was only signed a few days ago after the conversation between Colin and Travis. The contract includes a $500,000 donation to Van Jones' charity, Dream Corps. One final thing, a Travis source underscored, although he respects Colin, Colin doesn't tell Travis what he can and can't do. That's Travis's decision. Colin Kaepernick and his close circle of friends are strongly denying report rapper Travis Scott consulted with the ex-NFL quarterback before agreeing to do the Super Bowl halftime show. The report claims Travis and Cap spoke over the phone, and while they didn't exactly see eye to eye, there was a mutual understanding. The report seemed to imply Cap was okay with Scott performing because the NFL and Scott agreed to donate $500,000 to a social justice organization. But now Cap's crew is calling BS, and the QB is putting his stamp of approval on the public now. Cap's friend, Ebo Darden, the famous Hot 97 radio host who works closely with Cap's girlfriend, Nessa, tweeted, Cap did not approve this bullshit. Get the fuck out of here. And so Kaepernick retweeted Ebro's statement, and Nessa also weighing in, saying, facts, Ebro, they need to stop lying. In fact, the same day it was announced Big Boi from OutKast would also be performing at Super Bowl, Nessa posted an Urban Dictionary definition of the word sellout. She added, if you are with them, you are definitely not with us. Damn, Big Boi. Come on, Big Boi. Big Boi. Come on, B. Come on, Big Boi. Come on, man. That just totally turned the tide of this rant, though. I never in my life dreamed that I might have to go in on Big Boy from Outkast. That a fat sack, that nigga that driving Cadillacs. He stand up where he folk, because these streets are where he folk that better know that. Oh, come on, B, Big Boy. Tell me it ain't so. Tell me it ain't so, Big Boy. Tell me it ain't so. But first, before I get to you, Big Boy, hey, like I said, Travis Scott and them, the reports were implying that Travis Scott got the green light from Cap to perform at Super Bowl. And when I saw that, I was like, come on, hell no, nah, hell no. Nah. But then I saw the post from NASA and all these people there. So Travis Scott, or well, whoever put that out, whatever's going on, first of all, Travis Scott, you lame for agreeing to perform at the Super Bowl. Because let's just be real, bro. Getting the NFL to agree to donate $500,000 does not help to fight systemic racism. You got to remember that. You got to back this up. Now, this is all, most of this, really, all of this is about the NFL blackballing Colin Kaepernick, because Colin Kaepernick decided to take a protest or take a knee in protest of violence against black people in America, police violence and other unjust racial violence against black people in America. So that was the whole reason why Cap took the knee. But I'm not understanding how the NFL or the Super Bowl, whoever, donating $500,000 to a Van Jones organization is going to help stop systemic racism. How is that going to help stop systemic racism? I negotiated $500,000 to go to an organization. So what? So what? That does not stop systemic racism. If that does nothing but put whipped cream on shit. Guess what? It still is. Some bullshit. That's what it still is, you know what I'm saying? That's what it still is. Still some bullshit. Just put some whipped cream on top of it. Come on, don't try to finesse us, Travis Scott. I've never listened to your music. So I don't really know you like that, know who you is. I see you got your little braids in your head, your little plaits in your head or whatever, dog. You got going on in your life, whatever. I don't really know you like that, so I can't really go in on that. I just know that, you know, the NFL been trying hard. NFL been trying hard to get folk to perform at the Super Bowl, to try to get Jay-Z. Jay-Z like, nah, we ain't like that. We rock with Cap. But I am utterly disappointed in Big Boy from Outkast, Antoine Patton. I can't believe you are performing at the Super Bowl. Antoine, you are Antoine Patton. You are Big Boy. You are Lucius Left Foot. Are you serious? You did Liberation. You part of Outkast. You supposed to know better, man. Come on, man. Now, man, y'all been noticing, though, man, a lot of the OGs been disappointing us, man. Come on. I expect, like, Soulja Boy or somebody like that to accept the Super Bowl bid, but not you, Big Boy. Not you, Antoine Patton. Not you. That's utterly disappointing. That's disappointing. The NFL don't like our black asses. The NFL don't give a fuck about us, man. A lot of these other venues don't too, but the NFL has been blatant with their racism, blatant with their compliance within the system of white supremacy. We know they down. See, the NFL, like I was telling somebody the other day, the NFL and the NBA are like Democrats and Republicans. The NFL are the Republicans, and the NBA are the Democrats. So the NFL is racist in your face. The NBA is racist behind your back. So we know where the NFL stand. We know where we stand with the NFL. And you two sons of bitches decide that you want to. See, the thing is, the thing to do is to keep the NFL looking. Like, be like, nah, dog, we down. We straight. We ain't doing that. Nah, we ain't straight. We riding with Cap. But You know, it's always a William O'Neal. And if you don't know who William O'Neal, go check out Fred Hampton and William O'Neal. Because William O'Neal was an FBI informant who posed like he was down with the Black Panthers. And he's one of the reasons why Fred Hampton is dead. It's always some William O'Neals out there, man. It's always some flaw-ass sellout shit, man. Straight, that's some sellout shit, man. I would have never in my life expected Big Boy to be a part of my goddamn rant. But Big Boy is a part of my rant because he decided that he wants to perform halftime of the Super Bowl. You don't need to perform. You, Big Boy, you are a hip-hop legend. Do you not get that? You are a legend. You don't need this. You don't need to do this. Like, Big Boy, you don't need to do this. You are Big Boy of Outkast. You don't need to do this. But the fact that you deciding that, man, you know what? Shout out, I'm going to go ahead and perform at the Super Bowl. Damn, cuz. We seeing what folk line up at, man. Some things you just need. Sometimes you got to take a stand, man. You got to take a stand, man. If you ain't taking stands against white supremacy, man, we ain't talking about nothing. We ain't talking about nothing. We got to show white supremacy that we are escaping your bitch ass. Your bitch ass grass. We escaping that shit, man, because you bitch ass anyway. Come on, Travis Scott. You a young flaw nigga. Big Boy, you an old flaw nigga. That's some hope. That's disheartening. Like, I was all riled up and ready to just give Travis Scott the third degree. But I ain't even gonna lie. Learning Big Boy is performing at Super Bowl took some wind out of my motherfucking sail. That hit me. That hit me in my heart, dog. That hit me in my heart, dog. Come on, Big Boy, dog. How you gonna perform at Super Bowl, dog? Come on, fuck the Super Bowl, man. You don't need to perform at no Super Bowl, man. Fuck them. That treat, man, they are complicit when it comes to white supremacy. Come on, Big Boy. Come on, man. Travis Scott, man. I don't know if you put the report out, well, whoever put the report out, Kaepernick and them all them, and if Travis Scott and them, y'all some hoes for putting the report out talking about Kaepernick, y'all agreed that you should do it. Boy, stop that shit, boy. Stop, don't. The fact that you got to go to those lengths to try to cover yourself from doing some fuck shit, because the fact that you got to, well, we're going to negotiate some, them donating to charity, and then Kaepernick, them said, the fact that you got to go to them lengths means you know that you're doing some fuck shit. Let's just call it what it is. If you got to go that far with it, that means you already know you doing some whole shit. That's what that mean, B. That mean you already know you doing some whole shit. And we know the type of people who do whole shit be whole-ass people. So what that mean, Travis Scott? What that mean, Travis Scott? You doing whole ass shit. You whole ass motherfucker. I'm just saying the whole secret. Like I say, I know nothing about Travis Scott. I heard the name. I heard he had a pretty good album last year. And I really didn't get around to listen to it. I ain't gonna lie. I really didn't get around to listen to it. Really wasn't trying to get around to listen to it. Not that I have anything against him. I don't know if he made good music or bad music. It just sometimes it just takes me a little longer to get into an artist. Like, I literally just got into Nipsey Hussle last year, not knowing Nipsey been out here putting it down. So Travis Scott could very well be out here putting it down. So I might slip to listen to some of his music on YouTube. But probably, well, actually, after this, I'll wait a little longer. I wait a whole lot longer because, I mean, I really don't need to listen to him. Well, if Travis Scott wanted to donate $500,000 to my nonprofit organization, I'll listen to his music. You see what I did? Right. But fuck y'all with these moral victory trophies and all this bullshit, the other bullshit that y'all got going on. I'm trying to soften the blow of the sellout. Travis, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but black people who, like, got sense and who who don't support white supremacy ain't performing at the Super Bowl. Black performers, they ain't performing at the Super Bowl. So maybe you and Big Boy missed the memo. I don't know how the fuck y'all missed the memo, but y'all motherfucking missed the memo. And it hurts my heart to have Big Boy in this weekly rant or this Friday rant. But shit, I put myself in the rant last week. And I told you, nobody's above the rant. Nobody is above the rant. Big Boy, you fucked up. You fucking up. And we got to call you out for it. You're OG. You old enough. You know about it. You come from early 90s. You early 90s rap group motherfucker. You know about it. You fucking up. Travis Scott, hoe ass shit. When I say hoe ass, y'all say Travis. Hoe ass. Hoe ass. When I say hoe ass, y'all say Travis. Hoe ass. Hoe ass. And I ain't look. Like I said, I don't know you like that, but when I see people, I know if you're doing hoe ass shit, you might be in the space of just being a hoe ass person at this space. I'm not saying you're a 24-hour hoe ass person. You might be, you might not be. But in the time and space that you doing hoe ass shit, you being a hoe ass person. So got to call you out for the hoe asses. It's just like you might not smoke crack every day, but in the time of you smoking crack, you a crackhead. So if that's going to apply for crackheads, it'll apply for everybody else. So hoe ass people do hoe ass shit. That's all I'm saying, Travis Scott. And Big Boy, I'm fucking utterly disappointed in your ass. Wow. I totally expect more. Definitely expect more from you because I just thought you knew it better. I just knows you knew it better because you Big Boy. But it is what it is. So Travis Scott, Big Boy, man, yeah. Boo, boo. Hey, I'm Joseph Ward. This is the Fix Sports Podcast. I'm really disappointed. Fuck. Damn, Big Boy. That shit hit me in my heart, man. I'm really disappointed because I fucks with Big Boy. Big Boy, that dude, man. I fuck. As y'all can see, y'all can hear it in my voice. I fuck with Big Boy, man. You know how it is, man. Joseph Ward, this is the Fix Sports Podcast. Remember, support your homeboy on Patreon. Patreon.com/TheFix. Come on and be a patron and help support Fix grow as a podcast and grow. This is just a whole Freedom Train platform. Just grow and do our thing. And if you really enjoy what we do, we could use your support. So thank you all, everybody who support us. And we're going to keep doing how we do what we do when we do what we do. Two fingers in the air like a motherfucking player.
I am the greatest. I saw the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Air Force. There's no one that can match.